Hey everybody!
Episode of Force Chatter. You'll notice if you're watching this on YouTube that things look a little bit different this week, and that is because we are on a portable setup this time around. I am traveling. I am here in one of our secret random chatter network studio facilities, aka Tim's Kitchen.
It's like a safe house.
Yes.
Yeah.
It really is.
But not safe. Yeah.
I'm also in Tim's kitchen, but I just brought all of this with me.
Tom thinks ahead in ways that I don't sometimes.
So many boxes.
You're going to be expecting 400 boxes, Tim.
So please, in this portable studio thing, you'll notice Tom's video size is already changing back and forth. There's some kind of wonky things going on here with the video, but at least we have video and we're bringing it to you here. I've even got like a little Star Wars themed thing behind me here. A very cool quote from The Last Jedi.
Very nice.
Yeah.
But that was made by
Lou. I don't know if you've ever seen one of those before.
Oh, very nice.
Hope is like the sun. If you only believe in it when you can see it, you'll never
make it through the night. Very cool. Anyway, so we are going to talk a couple of things real quick. In this episode of Force Chatter, we kind of have to talk about the elephant in the room. The Galactic Star Cruiser promo video. Lucasfilm released an official preview video.
Lou, he wasn't talking about you. No. Oh, okay, I thought it was an elephant behind me. I was just concerned.
Yeah, no. That's a different room and a different elephant. So it was not met with very much acclaim. The criticism was pretty harsh to the point where Lucasfilm pulled the video. I never thought that would ever happen. They pulled the video, and then anybody who reposted the video, they pulled that video too. If the only ones that were left up were the ones where people are providing commentary on it, which is what we're going to do here with you today. So you can see the video if you haven't already seen it, and we're going to give our thoughts on it. And there's also another video that they posted that, to my knowledge, is still up, and that is of the lightsaber training and the command room, like the flight deck stuff. So we're going to take a look at that. And then Lou, actually, you went to Batuu recently. Why don't you give us your quick little rendition of what your thoughts were on
that? Yeah. So I went to that recently, right before this whole video, you know, kerfuffle broke. And I was astounded that it was so poor and so bad and ill received. And I'm like, yeah, exactly, man. How could they do Batuu so well and really feel like you are there? I mean, if I said it once, I said it 100 times that day, that this feels like you're really in Star Wars. I mean, everything down to the light poles that held up the lights to give us illumination at night when the sun wasn't going, it felt like you were there. I mean, everything felt so real. And I'm like, how could they have screwed up the Star Cruiser that badly? Is it a different team? Did they lose all their help and they hired new people that are, you know, just don't know what Disney does? I mean, you know,
but,
I mean,
Batuu works. Disney is what you're saying. Batuu.
Oh, fantastically. Yeah. I mean, everything about it was amazing. I mean, you know, just being there, walking around, even if you didn't get to do any of the rides, being there, walking around Batuu, interacting with the cast members in character, and, you know, eating in the eateries and, you know, drinking green milk and all this, it just felt like you were really there. I mean, aside from the fact that you're with other fans that aren't dressed up in costume, it felt like you were really there. I mean,
okay,
it was cool. Just everything about it was like, I want to go back. I want to see it again. I want to, you know, do it all over again. And then riding the rides, I mean, you know, Smugglers was amazing, and Rise was beyond amazing. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So,
what was your favorite part of the whole experience?
I have to say, Rise of Resistance. I mean,
yeah,
that ride was phenomenal. And, you know, even just to, you know, the sequence of it, one part of when you're in the, you know, escape pod thing, trying to get out of the ship, you look out the windows and there's this battle raging outside the ship and you're like, that looks like it's really there. I was like, okay,
that's cool.
I thought you were going to say that it was that you could tell everybody that you've used the refresher for the first time.
Well, that was part of it. Well, you know, I didn't take any pictures in the refresher, but you walk in and it's done like Star Wars 2. It's like, you look at, you know, the fixtures. I'm like, okay, I'm really here. It's not like you walked in. It's like, okay, I'm out of the world. I'm in a regular, you know, men's room. No, it looked like you were in universe.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. All right.
Good attention to detail. That certainly seems to be how, like, an attraction in Star Wars should be done, right?
Well, it's like what Disney does. I mean, Disney does this. I mean, you know, I had a, you know, awesome chance to ride on a ship a couple of years ago, you know, the cruise ship, and, you know, even just the parks in general. I mean, everything they do is attention to detail and make you feel like you are living in, you know, whatever park you wanted to be there at. So it's like, this is what they do, and how could this hotel be so far off the mark?
Let's talk about whether it actually is off the mark or not, because I know some people may have different opinions. So again, mm-hmm. we wanted to get this video to share in this recording. We couldn't record last week, and then the videos got pulled. I want to thank David in our Discord server. He helped hunt down the two videos for me while I was trying to... Actually, he and I each separately found a good copy at the same time, but he took the time out to help me find it, and then he found me the lightsaber one as well. So, David, thank you for that. And we're going to play them for you right now. We're going to do the hotel preview one first, and then we're going to do the lightsaber training one. Now, my understanding is that there was a different one that was sent out to... Tom, do you know who it was that got these? Was it...
I think Folks with Reservations got a special video.
All right.
Like a welcome video.
If I have technical issues here again, sorry, doing what I can here remotely on a laptop I've never streamed from before. So we're going to try this here. So this is the first one. Again, this is the one for the hotel experience itself. This is the one that was pulled. Chat room, let me know if you have any problems with the audio.
And Moral, hello there.
I'm super excited to see what you and your team created.
We cannot wait to have you aboard because Star Wars Galactic
it's really
Star
not even the audio
is the first of its kind vacation experience.
It's the visuals
where
is all you need to see to understand, I think, where some people are coming
out
from.
Your very own Star Wars story. Oh, I'm just
don't get
excited.
Fixated on the bad acting.
Go inside.
Okay, because the acting is not going to affect what your experience is going to be when you get there, okay? So we're going
to
forgive any acting
issues.
Wow. This is unreal. It's like I'm walking.
That's how I acted
into
when I went to Galaxy's
movie,
Edge the one time.
Except it's not a movie. lots
of gesticulating.
Of all, and in the middle of the action. And then there's
wild,
activities
flailing arms.
Yeah, there are activities on board the ship. The first one that I'm really excited about is lightsaber training.
We're going to come back to the lightsaber training.
Here on
in a
the
minute,
bridge, we also invite all of our guests to do bridge operations training. And occasionally, this is where we can go to hyperspace.
Punch it!
So we've really focused on making sure
look
we have some of
the
best
the visuals,
entertainment
the
in the galaxy on
the backgrounds
board.
As you're watching
One of which
this video.
I'm so excited about is this pop star who is known throughout the galaxy for all.
What's going on? I just popped through that door and I have no idea.
Look above and see the world slowly emerge before your eyes. Feel the swell as the moon begins to rise above the tide. All around, change is coming, something new is in the air. Come and
my gosh, I was just in there, the lights were low, and this performer just came out of nowhere.
You just met Gaia.
She was incredible.
Let's get you back to the launch pod in your home planet.
Sounds great.
All right.
All right, so that's it. Now, I want to get initial thoughts, and we're not going to do it like frame by frame, but I'm going to pick apart some certain things here and there. Tom, what did you think of the content you saw here?
I think what's driving this conversation isn't what's actually seen in the video or whatever. It's the price tag. I think if this were $150 or a $250 or even, you know, like price it alongside some of the pricier resorts in Disney World, like the Grand Floridian or Polynesian, I don't think this conversation would be happening. It certainly didn't happen with Batuu, and Batuu like achieved and then some what it was trying to do. But you got Batuu for the price of entry with the ticket, as pricey as those tickets are. Mm-hmm. They weren't charging a premium. I think people were predisposed to pick anything that they released apart because of the price point that they set and because of the exclusivity that it created. And the thing that jumped into my mind immediately when this whole thing came out was like that Jurassic Park line, you know, where the lawyer Gennaro is like, well, we could charge $2,000 a day, $3,000 a day, and people will pay it. And we'll offer have a coupon day. Yeah. And so I think that lit a fuse, because what Star Wars has been about its entire existence, to include Galaxy's Edge, is accessibility for everybody. And that's not what this was. So I think people were primed for this. And I think because this clearly doesn't measure up, in my opinion, to a $4,000 or $5,000 excursion for two nights, that the powder keg got lit.
Lou, what are your initial thoughts? I know you just got back from Batuu. I've not been to Batuu. I know Tim hasn't. Tom, have you been down to Galaxy's Edge yet?
Okay. I have. I agree with everything that Lou said. Blew me away. Cannot wait to go
Lou,
back.
Comparing that to this, any thoughts?
I mean, it's hard to tell from a video.
That's fair.
You're not feeling it. And I'm also trying to process this with the people that went on the media preview for this thing a couple weeks ago, that I saw on Instagram and so forth, and they all had positive things to say about this.
So, to be fair, I don't know what to say. When you get flown out somewhere, all expense paid, invited into something that's exclusive, free meals, etc., it's easy to go easy on things when you review it.
No, I get that. And a lot of them said they're holding back their final comments for when this is a fully fledged experience ready to go. It's still being worked on, obviously.
That doesn't make it sound like they knocked the socks off, though.
I don't know. The ones I read seem pretty positive. They seem very enthusiastic about what's going to be the final, edition of this when it gets released to everybody and they can experience the full effect of it. Now, I agree with Tom, though. Is it worth, $1,000 a night, $1,200 a night per person for a two person stay? It's crazy dollars. Well, I think if it's a two person stay, I think it's 12 something a night per person. So, $4,800 for two people to go and have a cabin on the house.
Those expectations are also modulated when it's not your bank account that took the hit. It's one thing to be predisposed because you were taken care of. And I get that. I think that exists in a lot of spaces. But in particular here, I very much think that your expectations are tied to the price point. I mean, if you go pay, $100,000 for a car, like those that can afford to do that, you're going to have certain expectations versus paying $5,000 for a used car. It's just natural. Right. And so when you don't have that connection there, when your chip, those aren't your chips on the table, I wonder about the authenticity of some of these opinions. Not the fun that they had and the experience that they had. I get that. But would you think the same if you had paid full price for this?
Tim, what are your...
Yeah, that makes a big difference to it, too. Yeah.
Tim, what are your thoughts on this, based on the video?
Eric, one, I want to make sure that you're paying attention to YouTube.
I'm not. What?
The stream has been suspended for policy violations.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I see that now. Yep.
Well, we're going to keep recording it anyway.
So I don't even know
when we contest that, we'll put it back up.
Probably because we're playing a banned video.
Well, it's not banned. The people who posted it took it down, and the other people who have posted commentary on it have been allowed to keep it up. So, interesting. I'm going to contest it. So we're going to keep going.
As far as my thoughts on it, I wasn't wowed by it. And it does go back to that price tag thing that I you know, if I'm going to see a preview of this, I want to have that take my money, you know, kind of response to it. And I'm just not really compelled to see this thing with what they gave us. What they gave us is fine. But in a lot of ways, there's things here that almost feels to me that, you know, maybe they like integrate these things into Batu. You know, it kind of feels like it would be part of that day trip to Batu for whatever that price of admission is, to walk around there and see and experience some of these things as part of that world. But these experiences as part of that multi-$1,000 two-night trip, I don't think so.
I say the Twi'lek singer looks phenomenal. Like, she looks spot on. Great.
Yeah. And the bar looks really good, too. But Tim, let me ask you this. Would you feel comfortable? I mean, what would it take to make you say, here, take my money for that kind of dollars? I mean, $1,200 a night per person. I mean, I'm not sure what could make me say, yeah, here, take my money. I may want to do this really badly, but it's a lot of coin to get rid of.
It really is. And it's a good question, Lou, and I'll say in all fairness, I'm not quite sure I know what that answer is, because it's kind of like we are predisposed to this certain expectation based on movies and The Mandalorian and even the animated stuff and action figures and all that stuff. We're so predisposed to wanting this like immersive experience, and to have concepts in our head of a certain look and feel of it and all that. And I don't know. But like, what I do know is that what I'm seeing isn't it, at least for me.
I'm going to throw in my comments real quick, because we do need to move on to the other video. I know Lou's got about 10 minutes left here. When I look at this video, I see hallways that look like a Star Trek knockoff. I see computer screens that look like Star Wars. I see computer terminals, like the things holding the screens and the button panels and stuff, that look like a retro 1950s attempt to knock off some generic sci-fi franchise. The bar looks like any space bar that anybody would put together if they were going to put together a bar in space. Like, there's nothing about this that says Star Wars to me. It feels so outrageously generic, almost as to be insulting. Like, I wouldn't pay half the cost to go to this. Like, there was a time where I'm like, okay, after seeing the videos of Batu, and I don't think it's just, you know, video versus in person either, because I've seen nothing except videos of Batu, and I was thrilled since day one. Like, I can't wait to go there. And this, like, I was thinking, based on Batu, I'm thinking, okay, that's really expensive, but the price will come down a little bit, and, you know, if I save my pennies, maybe someday, you know, take my son there. No. If they cut the price in half, I still wouldn't even consider trying to go out of my way to something like what we're seeing here. This does not feel like Star Wars. This feels like a bad attempt at it. And I'm confused at how Disney, which, as you said, Lou, based on their cruise lines, the real cruises, and based on how they built Batu, would come up with something that looks like it does in this video. But I want to come back to the lightsaber training video.
Right.
And we're going to play this here real quick, too. And our hosts won't have audio for it, but our listeners will.
Welcome to the Lightsaber Training Pod. So excited to have you here.
This looks unbelievable.
We have been working on this experience to have a whole brand new way for our guests to experience this ancient art of the lightsaber.
Can I hold that?
Absolutely.
That's mine?
Please, please. Okay. This is for you.
So do I turn it on? Or
go for
what
it.
Do
right,
I do here?
Right there.
Oh. All right, so I'm
so
standing
you're right
here.
Right there. The
so far, not bad. Like, it's remote. A generic room that any of us could have built. Like, that part. A little light beam that you just stick the lightsaber in front of.
this fun. Just seems lame.
Welcome to the bridge of the Halcyon Star Cruiser.
Okay, the bridge. This will be
so
good.
So cool in here.
Here in front of the systems, this is one of my favorite places because you actually get to push all the buttons. You can actually change the settings, control the ship. But, you know, we could really use some help defending the ship. Are you up for it?
I'm definitely up for it. I don't know, you should trust me to do it.
You're going to be actually look guiding where we're aiming. We're so you're going to aim and I'll fire.
Okay.
All right.
Again, pay attention to the aesthetic. And this so-called video game. Notice there's no fire button here. It just continues to fire, and all you do is move the target.
Last thing to do, you want to take us to hyperspace?
Mm-hmm.
I would love to take it to hyperspace.
All right.
Just don't let me
X-Wing versus
up.
TIE Fighter. Okay.
Okay.
More
so,
challenging.
You know, just give that lever a strong pull.
Okay.
So I'll say this, the buttons on the console there look identical to what's in Smuggler's Run. You know, whether you're in the engineer's position, the gunner's position, or the pilot's position, those are the kind of buttons and toggles you have to push and play in that ride.
I guess, but if you look at this panel that's up on the screen right now, it's literally just a bunch of square buttons. Mm-hmm. Like, I could literally make this.
Yeah, well, yeah. There's nothing special. And there's nothing special about the controls in the Falcon either.
Lou,
it's just
here's the thing, though. When you're sitting in the Falcon, does it feel
clean.
Like it's the Falcon? Like, if you look around, does it look like what we've seen in the movies?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. This doesn't.
You know,
this
I don't think
something we've seen. This is not a ship we've seen.
And yeah,
it looks
I don't
way too clean for me for Star Wars. But this is a high-end luxury Star Cruiser. It's not like you're getting on a freighter that you're commandeering a ride somewhere on, which I think we'd probably be happier with.
Yeah. And I think the Smuggler's Run is not, while like functionally, I think it's Lou's making a good comparison there because I agree. I think they're designing these buttons to be pushed repeatedly by a whole lot of people, and they have to be designed a certain way.
That's fair.
But we've been with the Falcon for 40 years, and so you step in and your brain just translates it. The difference is that the Falcon, I forget who talked about it, but when they were designing the Falcon, they were very, very careful and intentional about everything had a purpose. Like, don't, like, the cables need to look like they're leading somewhere, the buttons need to to look like they're doing something. And I don't know that there's that intentionality here, that at least that you can pick apart. And also, I, you know, this is something that's fundamental about the whole experience. But you talk about a freighter or whatever. This is, I guess, this feels more like Fifth Element and less Star Wars, because Star Wars has never been about, with the exception of maybe, you know, Padme's clean spick and span ships, it's never been about taking rides aboard the nicest ships or whatever.
Right.
You know, maybe unless you're a first order.
And
officer.
Even her ship had
but
a different
it's,
look and feel and tone.
Right.
Yeah.
And and it had intentionality and stuff. And so and here you don't have any of that, and you also don't have the nostalgia to fall back on. Like, when I left Smuggler's Run for the last time, I remember they had to like usher me out because I was just standing in the corridor, like just marveling at a random hallway in the Falcon and like listening to it. And you felt like you were in a Star Wars ship. And
that's
not,
awesome.
You know, I'm not standing in an area that's like iconically the Falcon. It's just a hallway.
Right.
You don't feel like
this
that
shot
here.
Right here, for example, you got TIE fighters outside. That looks like Star Wars, but like the room you're in. And like a mediocre modeler said in the chat, I mentioned this.
It looks so plastic.
Earlier today, I'm like,
it does.
Put labels above the buttons like life support or, you know, engineering comm. Something to make it look like.
But
like you said, Tom, there's
even so. But you know, most control panels we've seen, even on the Death Star and stuff, don't have like labels that, you know, this is the button to push this to make this happen. They're just buttons, and you know, there was no labeling on them, really.
I know, it just
and I'm not trying to defend it because this does look horrible,
and I'm not saying that is necessary. And even in the real world, not all buttons are always labeled, but again, there just needs to be. This looks like people have mentioned Buck Rogers, people have mentioned trying to be a Battlestar Galactica ripoff, which was enough of a Star Wars ripoff itself that they got sued for it. Like, this just seems so milquetoast and generic and knockoffish. And back to your comment about the Fifth Element, I was actually thinking about the fifth. I forgot to mention this. The singer in the bar made me feel like the.
Yeah.
What did I say before? A mix of Fifth Element and something else, but like the worst of both. It just there's not a single thing in any of these that have worked. And the lightsaber battle. Listen, I have an Oculus Quest 2. The Vader Immortal experience and the Tales from Galaxy's Edge experience, the lightsaber battles, the lightsaber training in there is incredible. And then, Tim, you pointed out earlier, like, the Nintendo Wii system had some similar things. And then I remember playing Wii Sports, mm-hmm. where you had, like, the little foam sword yeah. fighting things. Those were interesting. And so when they were talking about this Galactic Star Cruiser experience and the lightsaber training, I'm thinking, wow, so, like, the VR stuff, but better, because, you know, $5,000, $6,000 for what's basically a day and a half and two nights. Like, yeah, it's got to be beyond that. And that experience was really cool. So I'm thinking, okay, like, you know, mocap suits or like full body VR or something. And no, it's literally a little mm-hmm. light beam that you put a stick in front of to block right. the light, but, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. But I see what they're trying to do. They're trying to make it so it's real, not in VR goggles.
Okay,
I mean,
but
right.
if they came out and said, this is the lightsaber training you're putting on VR goggles, you're playing in a room that only you can see through the goggles. Mm-hmm. You'd be also be like, I'm not spending $5,000 for that. You know, it's just they're trying to make it real,
but I'm not spending $5,000. It's not a better way to do putting it. Putting a stick in front of a little
right,
flashlight.
Right. Yep.
There's a way to do it. I mean, one of my favorite experiences down at Disney was not at Disney proper, but back in downtown Disney or Disney Springs. They had this this place called The Void that was like a VR experience. And they had a Star Wars game in there that had Diego Luna as Cassian. It had Alan Tudyk as K2. Mm-hmm. You put a rig on, but you were moving through this entire mission. You had like a physical weapon that you were wielding. It was a blast. Like, I was sweaty coming out of it. I think there was a story element that they could have done here. Like, look, you're not a Jedi. Like, we can't replicate you being a Jedi, but like, this is the Jedi experience. And that explains mm-hmm. away the mm. need to put on a rig or something like right. that. The moment that you try to be like, well now like a lightsaber is real and we happen to have lightsabers on this luxury cruiser inexplicably, then you sort of,
then you box yourself out to passengers. Right.
You can suspend right. belief in a way that makes sense in canon. Right. Like, hey, these yeah. are, and then you yeah. can, the gloves are off. You can introduce super realistic VR and you know, they built the building bespoke. You can have whatever space you need to have people move around or be in a, you know, one of those tread rigs, whatever would be immersive. And you could accomplish yeah. that. I mean, I've played through Vader Immortal. Love that game. You know, didn't need to pay $1,000 a night to, right. to do it. So, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I think above everything else.
$30 for the app.
Yeah. Above anything else here, I mean, it's just like Tom said, it doesn't have the feel of Star Wars. I mean, Tom, when you went down, did you get to do Rise of Resistance?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. I mean, you get that part where you're still in line, but you're now being marshaled into the Star Destroyer. And you're in a nondescript Imperial Star Destroyer hallway, and you feel like you're there. I mean, it's yeah. like, you know, I'm kind of getting giddy. I'm like, oh, well, I'm prisoner on a Star Destroyer. This is incredible, you know? But it's like, it felt like you were there. The sounds were good. The, you know, the animatronics of the stormtroopers that were standing there were awesome. The, you know, the cast members that were marshaling you through in line were treating you like you were prisoners. I mean, it felt realistic. This doesn't feel even close to Star Wars from these videos.
And listen, I'm not trying to be mean about it. I'm not trying to. I feel bad. I feel bad reviewing it this way, but I mean, I'm not, those of you who have listened to us for long enough, you know, we're not going to sugarcoat stuff. We're not going to just blindly worship at the altar of Lucasfilm and say that everything is always the most incredible thing ever when it's not. And in this, like Batu, sounds like they knocked it out of the park. I can't wait to get there. Yeah. This looks really embarrassing, and it would be one thing if it were embarrassing at a reasonable price point. It would still be embarrassing, and we would still be saying these things. But the fact that it's $5,000 or $6,000 or more, depending on how many people you have going.
Well, if they want to prove it to us that this is better than it looks, bring us down there. You know, I'm sure the four of us will go down and do the experience.
Well, I mean, the thing is, though, we would still give an honest review coming back. So if if it stinks. I mean, listen, at this point, I hate to say it, but I'm not sure we're going to get media passes for Celebration anymore. I mean, I feel like we're fair, and I feel like we're not being mean, and our criticisms, whether it be of this or other things, have tried to be constructive and tried to be hopeful that, you know, things can change, things can improve.
Sure.
We still love Star Wars, and we're still dedicated fans, but it's because we love it that we have to point out when we think that there's something wrong so that it can be improved, so that there can be growth. If you can't identify the areas that need growth, you cannot grow. It's as simple as that. So we're not trying to be mean, and we're not trying to be hypercritical. We wanted this to be
incredible. No, and I'm the big. Marissa and I go down every single. This is the first year, just due to COVID circumstances, we haven't gone to Disney in the last 8. We are the biggest, you know, park shills that you'll find. And I think part of this, you know, my comment about the framing device that is the price point, that's unavoidable. But the other framing device, really the positive framing device, is the high expectations that the Imagineers really set and have continually exceeded since the 70s at this park, since its inception. And, you know, case in point isn't Batu is a phenomenal example, but case in point, quite honestly, is Pandora, right? A franchise that, you know, nobody's really buzzed about since 2009, 2010. But you step into that area and you just feel the raw creativity and talent of the Imagineers. You go on the rides that are in there and it's just you're sort of like, well, I'll be going to watch Avatar again after this. Like, that's got me excited about it. And, you know, there's a consistency with their skill and creativity that is expressed in all things. And it is, I can't think of a time where, you know, I've looked at something that's been done at the park and thought anything less than amazement. You know, maybe the Ariel's Grotto ride, just because my wife and I are big Little Mermaid fans, you know, that ride's okay. But
the Aerosmith roller coaster was a bit out of character for for Disney Park, but besides.
But no, I mean, I think that's part of it here is that people are so used to Imagineers just completely obliterating it out of the park, and perhaps it's, you know, it's one of those things where you just got to wait and see. But this look just, you know, I wonder whether I just wonder what was at play, like based on the limited view. That are these two videos? Is it just technological constraints? Is it, you know, a planned sequencing to bring other stuff online as this park, or excuse me, as this hotel gets its feet under it? I don't know, but
or something.
Yeah. But I'm, you know, I'm not going to pay for the alpha test.
With something like this, you're not going to get it.
Not at that price point.
Yeah, you're not going to get beta if you don't do good in the alpha test. I mean, it's one shot. I mean, you're there for 2 nights. You know, a half day in the beginning, a full day in the middle, which you're spending on Batu, and then a half day at the end.
You have to nail it at the beginning because once you get bad press, everybody's made their decision.
Yeah.
And that's it. So the only way to recover from that is to make a significant change, a measurable change, demonstrate that change, get the word out, and then have people willing to refresh that opinion. Okay, I'm going to give it a second thought. Now with the change, now what do I think? Because once you release something like this and people have solidified their opinions, I think this is why the video got pulled. Speaking of getting pulled, by the way, our stream got cut off for apparently violating terms of service. It came back up at the time we started the lightsaber video. So just throwing that out there. We'll post a new clean copy of this video onto YouTube pretty soon here. But go ahead, Tim.
Mediocre Modeler posted a question up on YouTube
hold
here. How much
do
you feel the experience
Lou,
is worth?
Lou, do you need to cut out?
I should probably go right now.
You'll be back for random chatter
for
the
next show.
Okay.
Yep, sounds good.
We'll go ahead and
thanks, guys.
Get your video there. Tim, go ahead.
Yeah, Mediocre Modeler posted a question here. How much do you feel the experience is worth as it sits right now? 50% cheaper, 75% cheaper, or start over? And I'll also qualify the question with, obviously, what we saw wasn't the entire experience, but, you know, in all fairness, kind of waiting that. What do you guys think? I think it's a good question.
It's not the whole experience, but let's keep in mind, two of the things that they have been touting the most have been the lightsaber training and the command bridge experience. So they did hit mm-hmm. on not everything, but two of the biggest things. Well, and the mm-hmm. bar was another big thing. They didn't hit on the Sabacc tournament, which is something that's interactive and you have some, I hope, you have some level of control over. So that's like a real thing that, that could actually matter. But like right now, you know, you look at, if you go to a Star Wars convention or something, it's what, about $300, $350 a night for hotels, give or take. And this has a lot more going to, but like, I $1,000. So, and again, are we saying like per person? For two people going there, I would pay $1,000. But anything above that, I have to start thinking, would my money be better spent paying for admission into the park, spending the entire day in Batu, also getting to see the other parks,
yes.
also maybe getting a park pass, etc. Like I have to think yeah. once it creeps above that $1,000 price point, maybe $2,000, maybe, I don't know. Like if I got more information.
Are you talking total yeah. for the entire package?
And that's way less than night. What they feel is justified. I get that. But I'm talking like for both nights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we usually stay at Shades of Green, so the military resort that's on park. Usually that's about, it depends on the time of year because the prices flex, but $150 to $175 a night, so like very reasonable mm-hmm. for an on-park oh, yeah. hotel. Given this stuff, I think, and I'm scaling it, like I'm comparing because I've been in just about every other hotel on park and have stayed at a couple others. And I'm comparing it to sort of the offerings there and what you could get for say $500 a night at a different, you know, place there. I think I'm with you, Eric. If you told me for two people for the total package like $1,250, that might be reasonable under the circumstances. Like a one time, like a once in a lifetime thing, but I that's not good for Disney. Like that kind of response, like I would pay that and be like, okay, well, I don't have to do this again. The box is checked. They want you continually right. coming back, and not just, you know, they're not going to be adding things every single year. There's going to be a life cycle to it, and so like Batu, it killed me to not go in November when we intended to go, and we're actively trying to reschedule our trip as we speak. I'm like chomping at the bit to get back down there and do the exact same stuff again. But I feel like even for that significantly reduced price, I'd be like, okay, that's good. I don't need to go to this hotel again.
I know this isn't and do the this answer experience. They want. They and I don't want to be giving this answer either. I want to feel like it's worth more than that. I want to pay more than that. Tim, what do you think? What's your price point on this?
I'm really with you guys. I don't think there's any need for me to be redundant in any of it. You guys covered the same thoughts and pretty much kind of the same price range. I mean, they are giving us some things, and you also know that like that's things true. Like meals yeah, are included too. In this and all that.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so it's like, okay, yeah, I'm certainly willing to pay that extra. It's not staying a night at the Holiday yeah. Inn. But yeah, it's the level of quality, and it's also how much time I would really feel mm-hmm. compelled to spend in those that's environments. Like, okay, so I go to their nightclub or their bar or whatever it is that we saw where the singer was there, and probably going to pay $15 a drink. And all right, I mean, how much am I going to be entertained if I'm there with a bunch of people and we're just being social with each other, just like any other bar? Yeah, sure, I'll probably stay longer. Otherwise, okay, I'll go there, have a couple of drinks, take in the sights, what I see, and then, all right, right. I'm moving on.
And,
you know,
and if you're hanging out there with other friends and you're primarily socializing, could you not? I mean, if your focus is on the people you're around, then the setting matters less and less in any given scenario.
Yes.
But to your point about the time, on a grander scope, I think that that's another thing that they're not everybody's taking into consideration, even the critics of this. And that is for, like, if I have, you have a day where, you know, you can go to Batu and you come back and then you're doing things on the ship. Every hour, every minute that you're spending on the ship doing these other things, you're not at Disney World. When people take a vacation to Disney World or Disneyland, people like me who don't live in the area, don't make a lot of money, that's like a once in a decade trip, maybe. For some people, it can be once in a lifetime. There's a lot of other stuff to see in Orlando. And even if you just stay branded with Disney, there's other stuff to see at Disney. And I would be sitting there stopping a flashlight beam with a stick that lights up. Or I could be checking out Epcot Center. I could be checking out Magic Kingdom. I could be checking out the rest of Batuu. I could be going on Rise of the Resistance again. Or I can be sitting in a generic looking space bar watching, you know, a made up alien sing a song I don't know. At some point, the time has value too, not just the money. So the time you spend investing in this Star Cruiser thing is time you're taking away from other known good quantities. And I don't see this experience being better than any of the experiences I'm familiar with at Disney parks. And that's even not including things like Universal. And frankly, I'm not a Harry Potter fan. The Harry Potter experience at Universal was incredible. I'd go back there again in a heartbeat for that. Even if we stay branded on Disney, though, I'd rather spend the time at Batu and the other Disney parks and attractions, I think, than or even take those multiple thousands of dollars and do a real Disney cruise, because those are incredible.
Yeah. No, the time thing is a good point. And I don't think it has anything to do with the setting that they put this in. This isn't like a knock on it being the Halcyon and something that people aren't familiar with, because nobody knew what the heck Batuu was before they told us that we should care about Batuu. And really, there are only a handful of like in-universe familiar things there. But it feels like Star Wars, right? You see the Falcon, you see the this sort of stuff. And when we went, you know, we always plan our whole trip out down to you know, not quite the hour, but we like really are mindful of that sort of thing. And I think people that go down there, particularly people that this is a moonshot vacation, which as it gets more and more expensive, that pool of people is going to grow. They have to be like that, because you're absolutely right. I'm not going to say, but I'm telling you, when I was around Batu and Marissa was, we were rescheduling things. We were like, well, we could, you know, why don't we not go to Epcot today? We would rather go back to the bar here, to the cantina.
That's cool.
We would rather go back and do this or that, or just hang around Batu. It's a place that you just like want to be. And that's the challenge,
that's awesome.
Is creating something like that, a space like that. And I don't know that they've done that here, that like, you don't want this experience to end, but you have to, and you're welcome to come book another stay with us. So whether they capture that at some point in the future, maybe they've captured that already and we're just being contrarians that have only seen a tiny peek into it. But I've seen nothing. I've seen nothing. I told this to Tim and Lou before we started recording. Think about a McDonald's commercial, right? When they show you the Big Mac, that's the best that the Big Mac is ever going to look. When you get the Big Mac, it may taste good. It may meet your expectations, but it ain't going to look like it does on the commercial. What that commercial, what that video should have been, and I don't know if they captured reality, but what it should have been is the best, the coolest that the Galactic Star Cruiser is going to look. The kind of thing that makes you want to go, like, scramble for your phone and book now. And if that's what that was, then you know, I think they've got, the Imagineers have quite a bit of work to do to sort of realign this with both the price point and just yeah, that, with
that's another
Star Wars,
good point.
Quite
like,
frankly,
this when you do a video like this, you want to show off the pinnacle of the experience, the best of the best. And if this is the best of the best of Galactic Star Cruiser, then that's even more concerning. And you know, maybe all of this. It was just maybe a badly thought out video. Maybe the experience itself is fine. And I'm sure we're going to find out because it is going to open and people will start posting their thoughts. And then we will get to hear from people who have actually experienced it, not members of the press, but actual customers, consumers. And then we will have the best idea outside of going there ourselves about what it's actually like. Tom, I want to ask a question from the chat room. Joe had asked, those that spent time at Batu, was it enough time? If you stayed longer in a given day, would it have been better or would you have been done? Do you feel like what is a good, reasonable amount of time to experience Batu in your opinion?
I think you need to see it at day and come back at night. So we usually get to the park first thing in the morning. Rise of Resistance, the queue is working differently now. So it, when we went, they still had the virtual queue. It was a virtual necessity if you wanted to ride the ride that you were there at park open. And so we were there first thing in the morning, like beautiful. You're still seeing the sunrise over the spires. And that was amazing. Like daytime was amazing. But so we stayed probably the better part of a day there. And I say this. We had plans to go elsewhere. We had fast passes back when that was, this is just to give people a frame of reference. This was the middle of February, 2020. So a few weeks before the shutdown is when we went. We had fast passes that we canceled to stay there. So we stayed there the better part of a day. Part of that was structured around when our fast pass time and when our entry time for the cantina was, because we weren't going to just leave and come back. But a lot of that was just like, just sitting and enjoying it. Like they've got this one quick service restaurant where the food looks like it's being cooked on a pod racer engine. And it was just, like one of the 88 smelter droids that, you know, appear in Jabba's palace, like torturing the droid there. You know, he's controlling the cooking and stuff. It was just cool to just sit there and just like, it just felt like you were in Star Wars. The cantina, Marissa couldn't drink. She was pregnant with our second daughter at the time. And she was having a blast just sitting in there and like listening to the droid DJ play. Nice.
That's cool.
You know, we were time limited there, but we left for a little bit and then came back at night. And it is quite the different experience at night. Same stuff is there, but just like seeing the Falcon lit up, seeing Kylo's, well, it's not Kylo's shuttle. It's a different type of First Order shuttle, but just it has a different feel at night. Like when the stormtroopers pop out and are on patrol and stuff, there's like just a different air about the place. So at the very least, I would say plan a good chunk of the day in Batu and just accept that you can just chill and just pretend like, you know, just lean into it. Just lean into the character work. We did our like phone cases, like kit bashed with Legos and stuff to make them look like data pads and did some of the digital games and stuff that you can do around there. But do that and then come back and see it at night.
I think that's an important note too, that also reflects back on the Galactic Star Cruiser, is the more rushed through the experience you feel, the less you're able to absorb the experience emotionally and psychologically. And I can imagine that, like, just sitting on a bench in Batu would be amazing. You're in Star Wars. Yeah, I'll just sit there and be in Star Wars and do nothing.
Yeah.
Of course. I've wanted that since I was,
and
like,
just take it in. I mean, for as simple as that sounds, yeah.
I sat there by the Falcon. We were just getting some water and just chilling. It was just, amazing to be near the Falcon. But Rey comes out quietly, doesn't announce anything. But Rey is walking around and inspecting the Falcon and just, like, has this smile on her face and is tinkering with some stuff. And then she just disappears, like, no pictures or anything like that. But that's the sort of stuff that's And it's at the price
that's
of admission.
If you're paying $4,000 or $6,000 or more, the itinerary, we talked about this on a previous episode, the itinerary for this, the Galactic Star Cruiser, was frantic. It was frantic. Where do you get to actually just sit and enjoy the experience of being on a starship out in space in the Star Wars universe? I want to be able to just sit by one of the windows, so to speak, and watch the other ships fly by. You know, it's a vacation. It can be relaxing in between the activities. It's like, if you look at pacing in a movie, you have action scenes and stuff. And what happens after the action scenes? Recovery, dialogue. You need that downtime. Talk to a DJ who works at a club. You don't keep it pumped up, high BPM songs 24/7. You have to let people rest and recover, because then when you ramp up again, there is that ramping up. So,
is there any greater proof of some experience being so immersive that you can literally sit there and do nothing, not be in actually like fully engaged in an activity, and enjoy it? I mean, like,
people do it all the time. I don't like the beach, but people do it all the time. They will go, and what do they do when they get there? They set up a chair or a blanket, and they sit, and they sit for hours. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm bored out of my skull, and there's sand everywhere. Get me the hell out of here. But people are obsessed with doing that because they love it. They want to just be in the moment, in that environment. I want to do that with Star Wars. Even if the Galactic Cruiser was impressive,
I was so enthralled with the bar alone that I walked out like very surreptitiously, like pocketed as many of these little coasters that I could get. You know, it's just
We had a really cool bartender that gave us brand new ones of all the four or five different ones they had, and we were talking with the guys. So this guy AJ that was our bartender at Oga's was getting a promotion to the bar on the Star Cruiser in January. And he's all excited about it. I mean, it was one of the few times I interacted with a cast member that was interacting outside of his character, per se. Because we were talking about real world, what he's doing. He's going to go to the Star Cruiser. He's going to just start doing SF training in January. He's all excited about it. And after I'm seeing this, I'm like, I hope it's as good as this is. Because, you know, it's like, I mean, the bar, like Tom was saying, the bar is amazing. It's just you sit there and you're limited to 45 minutes now. I don't know if it was the same before the pandemic, but you know, it was 45 minutes. You're like, this is awesome. I want to stay here for another couple hours and have a couple more drinks. Even I don't have more drinks. Right. I just want to sit here and just look at it, because I know I didn't get to see everything in the bar because there's so much detail. You know, the one thing that's different now on Batuu is they don't have the characters roaming as freely. The stormtroopers don't go on patrol. Rey wasn't around. We saw Chewbacca being kind of led through the crowd. But they're, because of COVID, they're really limiting that kind of stuff for interaction wise. But and I think they lost some of the cast members that had been, you know, done the improv training to learn their characters and learn what city they were from and all the Batuu speak and everything else. So some of that isn't as interactive as it used to be, but it's still, you find the right cast member and you get a good, you know, 10-minute conversation with them.
We're trying to be fair here. We're not trying to be mean. So what you just described, Lou, I think it's fair to chalk a lot of that up to COVID. So
definitely.
That's not a hit on Lucasfilm or Disney. That's fair.
I wasn't saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's expectations are different.
I'm just saying
different.
To our audience, we're trying to keep things
amazing,
fair and objective. And but they can't be quite as immersive because of the social distancing. And I work, there's a former Disney cast member who, they call them friends of the characters, who they dressed up in character, various different characters. And she's not able to go back because of COVID. I think the main takeaway from this is things look bad. B, things might not be. And C, we won't know until people go and let us know what's going on. But this is newsworthy for Lucasfilm to post a promotional video for something and the response be so universally bad. I made the joke to one of you, it might have been Tim, that finally we had something that brought all of the Star Wars fans together and united them. And it was so bad, Lucasfilm had to yank the video. I've never seen them do that before.
Well, that's, I think, yeah. let's just be fair. I think that was Disney Parks that did the video. I don't know. Did Lucas have a role in the production of that video?
I do not know.
Yeah, probably not.
I thought it was a Disney Parks.
So somebody pulled it. It was a Disney. Yeah. To be fair, I also don't know who decided to pull it. Was it Disney Parks that pulled it? Was it Lucasfilm that went to Disney Parks and said, please, we're begging you, pull this? Like, we don't know what happened behind the scenes. All we know is they posted it. People hated it. They took it down. I mean, even mid-video here, we got temporarily suspended. And fortunately, I'm grateful that we got turned right back on again. Because, again, we were providing commentary on the video and about a newsworthy situation in fandom. But, yeah, I mean, we can't not talk about this because it's happening and it's the talk of the town right now. So,
And just to add one more little thing to this, so as Lizzie and I were there, we spent almost the entire day in Batuu. We moved around a little bit to other parts of Hollywood Studios, but for the most part, we were there. And we had come back and we sat down. We're kind of sitting on one of the benches. I think we're having a wrap from Ronto's Roasters, and we're just kind of looking at everything, taking it all in, and thinking to ourselves, why don't they have more parts to this park? We should have another section of the park that is Alderaan, or another section of the park that is, Endor, or just over the rocks. But, you could do that and have you move from section to section and have each section be its own thing with, a different set of interactions and cast members' duties or not duties, but, their lives in that part of the city is different than it would be here. I mean,
Universal,
here
you've got the train that goes from the one park to the other park. And when you look out the window on the train, it's video screens. Right. You could do that same sort of thing. You get into a shuttle and then, a U-wing or something, and then it takes off into hyperspace. And then when you land a few minutes later, you are on Scarif or whatever.
Isn't that the intent? They have like a bus or something like that. I don't know that you actually go that far.
So, yeah. That's what they had talked about, but I'm wondering
For the Starship,
is that still a thing? We don't know. Yeah. But open up the park. Maybe you've got enough content interest to make not just a section of a park, but a whole new park that's just Star Wars.
A whole new park, yeah. I mean, give us Coruscant. Give us, there's so much they could do with it. And we were so amped up on what we saw on Black Spire Outpost that we're like, you could do this for all different sets of Star Wars worlds and have this be amazing.
That Spire Outpost is so small. Like, I want more.
Doesn't feel small when you're there.
It's good size. You got a big area.
I have no doubt that if I were there, it would not feel small. Yeah. But if you look at the map of it, it's and there's only two rides.
Yeah, sure.
There's the lightsaber thing in the droid building. Yeah, so there's two really good rides. Activities. It's a little more sparse than people realize, but that says something. That they're able to take that and make it feel so much more than it is. Make a whole freaking park
that. I mean, you walk through the shops you walk through the shops, you do shopping and you buy stuff. And, I bought a Life Day t-shirt, it's just everything feels like it's part of the experience because the people in the stores are acting like they are, living in Black Spire Outpost and you're just a visitor, so all of it felt so good, and I just can't understand why we got that video for the Galactic Star Cruiser that didn't quite fit with the expectations we have.
I think I can speak. Yep. I just want to make one last point because I think I can speak for the entire group. Means aside, and whatnot. I think from a 50,000-foot view, I think all of us would be first in line if we had the money and whatnot to pay that premium price or whatever they set if we felt that the juice was worth the squeeze. I don't think anybody's coming at this
knock my socks off.
This is an attack or anything like that. Quite frankly, my wife and I, before all these videos came out and stuff like that, had actively talked about how can we save? What can we do to maybe make this a reality?
Totally.
And that priority has slid down now. I don't know that that's on my list of things to really focus on. That being said, if they're able to adjust and meet that price point or adjust the price point, I'll be the first in line and have no problem doing what it takes and sacrificing to make that dream a reality. But, you know, for now, that's not where I'm at.
Number one, this can be salvaged with an aesthetic overhaul. Okay. I think that that's an important point. I don't think that this is a bad idea. And I don't think it's beyond hope. I think it can be salvaged with an aesthetic overhaul. And the second thing is, Disney Parks and Lucasfilm, please give us a beach. Give us an experience where we can just go and be. And be happy just because we're there. Just because we look around and we feel like we are in space. Or that we are on Batu, or Scarif, or hopefully not Alderaan, or whatever. Like, I want what you were describing, Tom, just sitting by the Falcon and just kind of hanging out and watching, like, hey, I'm just hanging out with the Falcon. Give us that on the Star Cruiser, too. Give us a beach. People go to the beach, they sit in the sand, and they just sit, and they are so thrilled just to do that. And do that, and we'll give you our money. Like, that's what we want. And, you know, also activities and stuff, of course, but don't forget the beach. Don't forget the experience.
And the Y-Wing.
Yes. And the Y-Wing. Off in the far distance.
I'm going to get the last word on this. Perfect place. And the Y-Wings.
That's Alderaan and Y-Wings. It's like chocolate and peanut butter.
The Y-Wings might be a discounted experience. I'm just saying.
All right.
People pay $50 a night for that.
The hour point. We're going to wrap up this episode. Thank you, YouTube, for turning our stream back on midstream. I was a little shocked that it was that fast, but thank you for recognizing that we're providing commentary and not just, you know, pirating stuff or whatever you thought the concern was initially. Thank you for everybody who's hung out in the chat room with us. And thank you for all the listeners out there, especially putting up with some of the technical difficulties we have had this episode, which actually have been limited just to me having to resize screens here and almost like playing a little video game while we record. But we are, I believe we're going to be back next weekend is the plan, and then we might be taking a hiatus until Book of Boba Fett. So we might see you again for Book of Boba Fett. We might have one more show in between now and then. We're not sure. I know I'll be traveling a bit next weekend, so a little bit up in the air. But don't forget, Book of Boba Fett, what's the date? 29th? December 29th. 7 episodes. Don't miss it. If you're listening to us, you're not going to miss it. Have great holidays. If you're traveling, stay safe, and we will see you.